As Batman, you must handle the widely varied tactics of your criminal adversaries. Some will try to distract you with bizarre gimmicks. Learn to use their weapons against them. These quirks have a pattern. Recognizing them is the key to winning.
Not too shabby, huh?
Better, though your execution could use more finesse.
Hey, it gets the job done.
Speaking of jobs, yours is to get a replacement for this one after school.
You still got that plastic mini vid cam? The one you can take through a metal detector?
I've got it, but you're not thinking of...
Some jobs are just too tough for Batman. That's when Terry McGinnis swings into action.
Hi, this is Kyle Higgins, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this adventure into Neo-Gotham is...
Steve, Joe, and Mike.
Welcome back, sir.
Hello. Yes, it's been a while for us. You bought a house. I've had other issues going on.
I think people may have heard that in the last episode.
Yeah. Possibly.
Yes.
The last episode was about a month ago, so it's not too bad. But we are back, and we are going to be getting these going, and getting the show kind of rolling on here. Batman Beyond. There's not a lot of news other than the comic. I guess we could talk about that briefly. Even though this isn't the pull bag, we can talk about the. Briefly for me, I was really skeptical about the Justice Lords of Gotham crossover between Justice League Beyond 2.0 and Batman Beyond 2.0. But I read it, both titles, both of them are digital firsts. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. Justice League Beyond 2.0 is going away for now, and Batman Beyond 2.0 is going weekly. This next arc that they are starting, it's going to be amazing. The Phantasm is returning, and we're finally going to get answers as to what the hell happened between Terry and Bruce, between Adam Beechin's old run, and when Kyle started his run. I'm so excited for this new arc. I cannot wait. Saturday, you know, this title comes out every Saturday. Saturdays can't get here fast enough, honestly.
I'm actually enjoying the run. I enjoyed the crossover only for the fact that Terry had to deal with alternate Terry.
Yes.
And I would be an idiot not to mention the updated Batsuit.
Oh my god, the Lord Batman Beyond suit was so amazing.
And I'm thinking... current universe Bruce needs to adapt this like now.
Well, see,
like
here's
mix
the
it
thing.
Mix it with the current universe suit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember in one of the issues Terry said, you know, when Terry found the suit, he said, "Oh boy, Dick Grayson, we got to talk about some upgrades." I don't think the they may incorporate some of the Lord Batman Beyond suit technology into the regular... I don't think the suit design is going to change. I think it's still going to be the classic black and red. At least that's what I can tell from all the covers that I've seen for the upcoming issues. But if they incorporate some of the technology, from the Lord Batman Beyond suit. That would be amazing. It's honestly, it's been such a solid run, both the 2012 run and now, the 2013 to now run with Kyle Higgins and Tony Silas and Eric White, and they're going to be having a new artist join Tony Silas on this next arc. I love how open these guys are, because I mentioned to Tony Silas, I think on Facebook or Twitter or somewhere, there's a shot in the cartoon series, I forget where it is, it might be in Return of the Joker, I don't remember, but it's Batman on TV, so it's basically Batman foiling a robbery of an electronics store, but it's him standing, and then all behind him is him on all these TVs. And I said to Tony Silas, I'm like, would love to see this, you know, in the comic. He said, I'll see what I can do about the next arc. You know, I love how open those guys are about their love for the universe and their love for the property. I mean, Kyle Higgins, the dude has ripped my heart out several times in the crossover arc.
Yeah, he just wants you to think he's going to do the evil killing.
Yes. And see, you know, and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, because you and I are eventually going to review those on the pull bag eventually down the line. I don't know when, but eventually. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but normally when they do anything, not just comics, not just movies, TV, whatever it is, video games doesn't count because you kill people all the time, but normally when they kill somebody off, some creators don't do a good enough job of explaining how they survived, and Kyle did an amazing job on how a certain character survives the very next issue. So there was that. He ripped my heart out with that issue. And then the final issue, when T says, Terry, I wasn't exactly honest with you about something. And then we see that the Justice Lord's timeline has a certain character that would mean a lot for Terry to see.
Mm-hmm.
It just, oh my God. I mean, I'm like, I can't see right now. Just from talking about it, it makes me emotional just to think about the damn thing. But no, in the hands of Kyle Higgins, I fully trust him with Batman Beyond Universe. It's building upon what the show was. And if we can't have a Batman Beyond cartoon, I'm very thankful and very grateful that we have these digital comics, because they are just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think we're going to get into some episodes today. We'll be back in a moment.
Social meltdown.
It's too painful to watch.
Hey, guys. I think we're looking at a packed house on Friday.
Relax, Howard. Forget the A-list. It's degrading. Only politicians chase after people who don't like them.
Terry, Max, and I are definitely going to be there.
Think of it as quality over quantity.
Gotta run. Small intimate party might be fun.
I appreciate what you guys were saying, but I still want a cool girlfriend like Chelsea or Blade. Then kids would come to me. It's a sign that you're somebody.
Somebody pretty shallow.
Shallow, but popular. Hey, the boss's car! How about a lift?
Sure, if you don't mind a side trip. I have to run an errand for Mr. Wayne.
Oh, if I had wheels like these, I'd get more girls than a rock star.
I did mention the whole shallow thing, didn't I?
This place is great.
Skip? Louie, you can stop worrying about those lonely weekends. Your custom order's ready. I thought you'd be. Everything you wanted. Blonde, dimples, the works. Oh, brunette? My mistake. Delivery's tonight. Behave yourself. Hey, Drifty, you got a purpose?
I'm here to pick up a special order.
Ah, you want a custom job? Something like that little synthoid number over there?
Sure, yeah. I mean, can you?
Oh, legally, no. But for the right price, I'd shave a coyote.
Will this be enough?
Oh, yeah. Tell me what you want, and I'll make it happen.
Personality-wise, she's got to be completely devoted to me. 100% loyal. Physically, around 5'7". Red hair, medium length, and the coolest green eyes.
What's your name, doll?
I don't know.
First aid jitters, huh? Hill High can be friendly if you've got the right friends.
No, thanks. I'm only interested in him.
Excuse me, Nelson. She's out of your league.
Your friend got a name, Groot?
Cynthia. Gotta run.
Up first is Terry's friend dates a robot, which is the 26th episode of Batman Beyond. It depicts the troubles that arise when Terry's friend Howard illegally gets a synthoid that can double for a human. Fed up with being seen as a loser and sad no one will come to his house party, Howard believes that getting an attractive girlfriend will earn him popularity. When he goes to the synthoid factory with Terry, he finds he can get a custom-made robot that appears to be human. However, that after Howard buys his new robot girlfriend, he learns that she is completely amoral, as well as far too possessive. Now, is it just me, or after seeing this, is this kid a younger, fat version of Howard Wolowitz from The Big Bang Theory?
He could be.
I swear to God, this is something that Howard Wolowitz would do. What did you think of this one?
Honestly, it's almost like the girl who loves Power Glide.
There are some cool moments in it. I will agree with you. It is not the best episode of the season. Hell, it's not even a good episode of the series. But there are some interesting moments in it. The whole teen popular thing, though, that's just... Ugh. Come on. Like, I know what they were going for, and I know that it's based on when the show was made, but... Just so cringeworthy. Good thing Nelson was wearing his hockey pads, huh? The whole episode, though, is creepy as hell. Even more scary than any Joker episode ever. Howard should have never ordered that synthoid. Never.
Well, I think the best part of the episode is where Batman is preparing to fight the Riddler, Two-Face, and Killer Croc.
Mm-hmm.
And actually fights robots of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that was part of the training montage. Yeah, because Bruce, that's why Terry went to the factory, because Bruce, that's where he gets his robots.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that the robots are Zeta robots?
No.
Yep. They are they are in the form of Zeta, I believe. Cynthia is programmed all wrong. He should have seen what was going to be coming after he said that. And of course, Howard does the stupidest thing ever. You should never say you want to see other people to your robot girlfriend, who is psycho.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
Yeah, pretty stupid. The animation in this was really cool. I love the image of Batman appearing in Howard's glasses fighting Cynthia. I love the music that comes up in that. Like, when you see Cynthia creeping around the locker room, that's just some creepy music behind her. That's awesome. Let's see. I guess getting into some production notes. According to the commentary for The Egg Baby, Max Brooks inadvertently believed that the producers were unhappy with his performance as Howard Groot. He just walked in and overheard complaints, which he thought were about him. The complaints were actually about a then-released movie. He was thus surprised when he was later asked to reprise Howard in later episodes, and misunderstanding was resolved. For trivia, the Golem makes an appearance here while Howard is exploring the Synthoid Factory. Bruce Timm has stated in various audio commentaries that he admires the Buffyverse and the Rebirth. And in the Rebirth Part 1 commentary, he said that he was asked to make a Batman Beyond like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is very popular at the WB at the time. Curiously, 1 year and 1 month after the airing of this episode, Buffy aired an episode with plot points similar to this one, in which a misfit creates an android girlfriend who also goes haywire at a party. Stan Berkowitz stated he wanted to put Killer Croc in the show as his reptilian physiology allowed him a longer lifespan. However, other than this robotic version, he does not appear. Max saying, "Hope I wasn't out of line with that RoboBim crack," is likely a reference to the series Get Smart, in which Maxwell Smart, played by Don Adams, frequently says it after insulting someone and hitting them with no effect. This is later echoed in the Batman episode The Icy Depths, in which Alfred, whom Max shares traits with, uses another signature Get Smart line when his history as a secret agent comes back to haunt him. Would you believe? I like this episode. It's not the best episode of the day, but it's not the worst one.
Yeah, I mean, it's among some of the worst ones. I'm not quite fond of it.
Oh, yeah, no, but, like, out of the ones that we'll talk about today, it's not... It's middle. I would say it's middle of the road.
Yeah, that remains to be seen.
Do you know who was who played Mr. Groot? Or Groot, or however you say Howard's last name?
No.
You know who played his father?
No.
Donut.
Homer?
Dan Castellaneta. Oh, man. All right, we're going to move on to the next one.
Enlarge. Enhance.
Authorized to use this frequency. Get off it, now.
Barbara, you have to listen to me.
Wrong. Those days are long gone, Bruce.
Terry.
A little busy right now.
Put your visor through a frequency scan.
Why?
Because I know who's behind all this. And I'm betting he's there right now, hiding behind an illusion.
Spellbinder.
Hold your fire! This better not be a trick.
Sorry.
Didn't know you had a shadow, did you, Commissioner?
Spellbinder?
He was there at the garage with us. He used his powers to create an illusion.
That's why I saw you kill Mad Stan.
But I didn't. I wouldn't.
You were so ready to believe the worst. It was easy.
Lock him up.
Next up is Eyewitness. Batman makes an enemy of Commissioner Barbara Gordon when she sees him murder a criminal in cold blood. Now he is a fugitive from the GPD, led by someone who not only knows his secret identity, but knows every trick in the superhero book.
This episode was awesome. This is by far the best Spellbinder episode.
Yep.
I loved everything about this, from the music to the animation. I thought the animation was so well done around Spellbinder and around how he made Barbara think what she saw. you know, Terry having to actually turn to mask Max to Bruce and Bruce and Barbara being at odds, you know, it all lined up. And what was interesting was how they got rid of Mad Stan.
Yeah.
He ended up in the vroom. He ended up in the VR room the whole time. You know, it's one of those things where it doesn't seem as if Terry's been on the job so long, and you would think that Barbara would... You would think that she would be the way that she is. Like, she's not going to cut this kidney slack as Batman. She's not going to cut Bruce's new chew toy any real slack or give him any real credibility. Even though he is telling the truth and he is doing the right thing. Bruce believes him, and that's great. I do like how Terry is not just going to take this lying down. He's going to go out and investigate and find out what the hell actually happened. And by the end of it, we almost have a complete copy of a few BTAS scenes. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but like with Batman on the roof and the cops down below, I mean, there were a few times where I remember BTAS scenes like that with Commissioner Gordon instead of, you know, Commissioner James Gordon instead of Barbara. And I like how they kind of mirrored that here. I thought that was really great that they kind of homaged the old series by doing the style that they did with the animation.
Yeah, they tended to do a little bit of that here or there throughout the series, but... No, I mean, it's an interesting take on Spellbinder, kind of almost giving you that Scarecrow feel, like they're seeing something they aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Spellbinder is kind of like a futuristic Scarecrow. But I like Spellbinder a lot better than Scarecrow, actually. Scarecrow, I think, is overused in a lot of things.
Kind of like the Joker?
Well, no, not really. I don't know. Scarecrow just isn't one of my... You know, between Scarecrow and Man-Bat, I would take Spellbinder over the two of them.
But you said between those two, who would you take?
No, between Scarecrow and Man-Bat, I'd say the hell with both of them and take Spellbinder over them any day.
I'd take Scarecrow out of the two, but...
Yeah, probably. As far as some continuity, when talking about tea and crumpets, Bruce claims he learned the former from the best, obviously referencing to Alfred. That was kind of sad, especially after Ephraim's death recently. Watching, you know, hearing him say that, it really meant a lot more for me than when I originally watched the episode.
Yeah.
Let's see what else here. Spellbinder holds Stan in the same type of virtual reality booth that he used and hooked up, as I said before. Mad Stan's full name, Stanley Lebowski, is revealed. Huh. He's one bad dude.
He's the dude.
Yep. You know who voices Mad Stan?
Henry Rollins.
Mr. Angry himself, Henry Rollins.
Yeah, he was also one of the Jokers.
Yes, he was. He was. Overall, this episode, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than the other Spellbinder. I mean, I like Spellbinder's introduction. I think it's that middle episode that he did where we get introduced to the VR room. I think that was the one that I didn't really particularly care for. But this one was kind of spot on. Any other final thoughts before we get to the final cut?
Not a bad episode.
All right, we'll be back in a moment.
So, the big guys in Malaysia?
Yep, taking care of some personal business.
You do know they've just had a major typhoon in that area.
Yeah, no way for them to give me any orders. Now, ain't that a shame?
Aren't you worried?
Believe me, Max, this is not a man you worry about.
I wasn't talking about him.
Hey, I can handle Gotham for a few nights without his help.
Whoa!
That almost scratched the paint job.
No need for violence. I was merely trying to get your attention.
You got it. Who are you?
Mutro Buta, at your service. For a price, of course.
Buta, I've heard of you. You're a member of the Society of Assassins.
I am the Society of Assassins. No need for that. If my mission had been to kill you, you would be dead already. No member of the Society has ever failed.
Except one.
Yes, because you stepped in to stop her. In a way, this is all your fault.
What is?
When you prevented Curare from killing her target, the punishment for her failure was death. Unfortunately, we underestimated her. She fought back. One by one, she hunted us down. I am the only one left. And you are the only one who can keep me that way.
And why should I care to?
Because when she has finished with me, she will come after you.
Thanks for the warning. I'll be sure to look for your name in the obits.
I thought you might feel that way, so I took the liberty of providing a little incentive. I planted a bomb in your city, a rather large one, set to go off unless it receives a properly coded signal from me every 12 hours. Go ahead. Take it. It won't do you any good. Only I know the codes. I'm not an unreasonable man. You help me defeat Curare, and I'll disarm the bomb. If not, if Curare gets to me first, boom! Gotham experiences a sudden population decline.
Up next is Final Cut, the 28th episode of Batman Beyond. Let's see here. The episode depicts return of Curare, who has successfully eliminated the rest of the Society of Assassins, save one. That last assassin appeals to Batman for protection, backing up his appeal with a bomb threat against Gotham City. Dun, dun, dun. I like this. It's interesting that we see Curare again. I like the story that the other assassins tell, that, you know, if you are a member of the League of Assassins and you fail, your penalty is you die. And she essentially fought back and killed everybody. I think that was really, really cool. This is one thing I noticed. When Terry isn't going old school and using the Batarang and swinging on the rope, the new Batsuit, the Batman Beyond Batsuit, that thing has unlimited Batarangs. I mean, he fired at least 20 of those things at once. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
What about you on this one?
I kind of like the idea of Curare.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny that they call it the Society of Assassins.
Yeah.
Sort of the League. But I'm not an overall fan of the character.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, one, she's some goofy blue chick that runs around with a sword that's enough to slice through telephone poles and cars. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sword is awesome.
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, once again, you know, Christopher Carter, Michael McQuistion, Lolita Romanus put together an amazing score for this. I love how this show uses the music to ramp up the action scenes or quiet down the quiet scenes. When Max is looking at the hotel room, I thought that was an interesting scene because Terry's off guarding this guy and Curare shows up at the hotel, and Max is basically pisses her pants. She doesn't really, but that's the best reaction I can equate it to. For some trivia, we've got, this is the second out of five episodes from which Bruce Wayne is absent, the others being Hidden Agenda, Armory, Zeta, and Inkling. Botha is voiced by Tim Curry, producer's original choice to be the Joker on Batman the Animated Series. The bomb is found hidden inside a bomb casing with a little boy written on the side, reference to the atomic bomb of that name, which is dropped on Hiroshima during World War II. The particular type of catapult on which Curare is trapped is called a trebuchet. Max defuses the bomb to the same manner that Batgirl defuses a chemical weapon in the new Batman Adventures, Sins of the Father, ripping out the wires, stopping the counter a few seconds before detonation, and asking, "Can we go home now?" Overall, I like this one. I think it's a good episode. It's by no means a bad episode. It's nice to kind of see Max trying to figure out what she's getting herself into if she really wants to be a part of the Batman Beyond universe. And after a while, she just kind of goes back to, yeah, sure, no problem. But she was scared witless in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Max is no Robin. Hell, she's not even Alfred at this point. I mean, she's just Max. Yes, she, well,
smarter.
Yes, she is smarter than Damian, but she doesn't have the Al Ghul genes in her to be as lame as Damian. Do you have any other thoughts on this one?
Nope.
All right, we're going to move on.
An out-of-control child, a parent's worst nightmare. I'm Dr. David Wheeler, child psychologist. With the tough new parental liability laws now in effect, mothers and fathers can no longer afford to ignore their children's problems. Are they staying out too late? Ignoring their schoolwork? Or are they involved in something worse? Whatever the problem is, I can help. At my ranch, only minutes from Gotham City, I offer the very finest long-term therapy for adolescents. Yes, it is expensive, but think about the alternative.
It's getting to be a ghost town in here.
Cold and flu season?
More like Dr. Wheeler and that ranch of his.
All this? Come on, Chels.
Come on yourself. The parents are scared. They're sending their kids off to therapy by the busload, as if they needed it.
Sean needed it. Lots and lots of it.
Yeah, but what about Alexa and Jamal? And Adam Stepnik?
Adam got sent away? But he makes those beautiful paintings.
Except sometimes he uses other people's walls.
Well, I guess if a kid's parents want him to get therapy, it's not like we can do anything.
Speak for yourself. I'm gonna email the principal, rattle his cage.
Careful, Chels.
Hey, it's like a letter to the editor. My dad writes him all the time.
The second to last episode, is The Last Resort. Let's see here. Depicts the founding of a rehabilitation clinic for troubled kids, which becomes hugely popular with the parents of Gotham City. However, Terry becomes suspicious and investigates, finding that the clinic's doctor is subjecting his students to brainwashing. This one is your classic, privately run, state run, government run child care facility thing that they're doing more than they're, it's basically juvie, but it's like 10 times worse than juvie because this guy is being a complete douche by brainwashing these kids into doing whatever they want. And he's getting the parents to send him all of their kids no matter what. I mean, he's you know, basically, he has this whole propaganda to the parents where, is your teen acting out? Are they doing this? Are they watching TV the wrong way? Are they looking at you wrong? Just because they said no means, you know, it's all this thing just to have all these kids, you know, come line up and be in this clinic. You know, it's just one of those things where this episode, it was all right. It had a couple of moments I liked, not a lot of them. What I did like is that John Ritter is a voice in this, because my note was, hey, it's Jack Tripper from Three's Company. And the funny thing is, this episode will actually, this type of episode will be repeated later a little bit, when we get to another one. What I did like about this, I absolutely love about this episode, is that we see Terry in action more than Batman. Again, we need to build up Terry. Like, okay, he can put on the bat suit, he can use the gadgets, he can stop the general clear-cut bad guys. But in order for him to figure out what's going on in a place like this, he has to be a Dark Knight detective. And I really liked that he was doing that here. I thought that was great. Alright, so with continuity, Terry alludes to Zeta and Meltdown when he makes a joke about chasing renegade synthoids and living heads. Jergen and Blade have broken up in the Egg Baby. They are back together. For production notes, Zeta was produced before this episode but aired much later, which is why Terry's reference about renegade synthoids seems out of place. Let's see, trivia. The first episode in which Terry does not throw a batarang. There are some similarities between this episode and an original Star Trek episode, Dagger of the Mind, in which outwardly respectable psychiatrist is using torture and hypnosis to force his version of right thinking on his patients. Hey, there you go. Batman Beyond and Star Trek.
I don't remember that episode, but...
Well, it says Star Trek, so I assume it's the...
it is the original series.
It is the original series.
I know the episode title, I just don't know what happens in that episode.
Rachel Lee Cook replaces Yvette Lowenthal as the voice of Chelsea. Bruce shoots down Terry's idea of going to the police because recordings from the Batsuit's microphone are inadmissible as evidence. Oddly, in Return of the Joker, Terry gives such a recording to the police when Jordan Price is arrested. However, Bruce points out that he may have had a hard time explaining where he'd gotten the recording as the reason. I liked it. I thought it was interesting, but I honestly have no idea how I'm going to rate these episodes this podcast, because most of them are so middle of the road. They have really cool moments in them, but they're not overall exciting episodes.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
So, all right, we're going to get to the last one after this.
Laid off!
Paxton Powers wants to move the Light Weapons Division into new areas.
You mean he wants to dump me and hire someone else at a lower salary?
I won't dignify that with an answer. Due to recent market reversals, your severance package, alas, will be modest.
I built that division up from nothing. I was in special forces. I've got degrees in electronics and engineering. They'll have to hire two people to replace me.
Take it easy, Jim.
Look, Karen, I just got married. I'm remodeling the house. I've got alimony. Things are tight. I mean, you started out as my assistant. Put in a word for me. Let me outsource as a consultant until I can find something else.
There's nothing I can do.
But the electrical contractor comes tomorrow, and I've got to get a check to Mr. Sweem for the new drapes.
What can I do to help, Dad?
Hey, everyone stop right now. You're looking at the best weapons designer around. Other companies are already bidding for me. This layoff is a huge blessing. Now let's stop all this panic and go out to dinner. Jared's buying.
Sorry, Jim, but the military is cutting back.
Hey, I'm lucky to have a job.
We've got a project coming up you'd be perfect for. Can you hang on for 18 months?
What can I say, Jim? These cutbacks affect everyone. Force Tech can't afford to bring you on board.
Force Tech has a short memory, Ishvan. I've helped you guys out before, under the table.
And we paid you generously. Of course, there are certain unofficial job opportunities.
Last up is Armory. That's all I want to say.
No. Really? That's it? Yeah. Come on.
Terry, Dana, and Max attend a birthday party for their friend Jared. The crowning touch is his stepfather's present, a new car. Jared's mother, Lorraine, remarks on the extravagance, but Jim says that nothing is too good for his family. And then it shows that he gets laid off by Paxton Powers eliminating the division, which is light weapons manufacturing, and merging with another. You can kind of guess where this is going from here. He works in weapons, and he gets laid off.
Yep.
Vengeance will be laid.
Yep. It's, you know, it's not a bad episode. It's a nice little commentary on, you know, family, you know, blended families, and, you know, a mom and a son and a stepdad. You know, we kind of had this a little earlier in season two of Batman Beyond with Earth Mover, only this one isn't as creepy as that one was. Once again, animation, top notch. I love how Armory looks. I love his vehicle. I thought his vehicle was great. This isn't one that I would probably watch more, you know, on a regular basis, but it isn't one that I would just throw away at all. I like it. I think it's really cool. It's a nice... What I love about this series is how deep they can get. Sure, Last Resort isn't the best episode in the world, but at least it shows you an issue that teens are facing. And in this one, it shows you that an issue, you know, issues that a new family has to face. And, you know, Jared and his mom tell Jim, hey, look, if you'd have just come to us, we would have figured this out without having to become a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. As far as trivia, there's not much. Jim Tate first appears in the first season episode Spellbound. The music at Jared's birthday party is used again in the opening club scene in Return of the Joker. This is the third out of five episodes from which Bruce Wayne is absent. Casting, Dorian Harewood is Jim Tate. I know him. I know his voice. He's done a lot of stuff. He was the voice of Jim Rhodes' War Machine in the Iron Man 1994 cartoon series. And you have, you have Corey Burton in here as, Hedgedesh, one of the guards, I guess. Yeah, he was, Hedgedesh worked with Jim. Oh no, this was the guy that, was trying to help Jim look for a job. This was the middleman guy. He was voiced by Corey Burton. That's kind of awesome. I do love Dana's one of Dana's quotes in this. Talk, 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 talk. Let's dance. Armory. It's a middle of the road episode, kind of bordering on bad, but it's not cringeworthy bad for me. It probably might be the one that I rate the highest today, only because I have a slight personal connection. Because, you know, my parents got divorced when I was two. When I was six or seven, my dad started dating this chick. And they got married when I was seven, almost eight. So I kind of see where they were going for with this whole new family thing. So, Any other thoughts on Armory?
Nope, I think that's it.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, rate these episodes, and then we'll tell you how to get an hold of us after this.
Synthoids get reprogrammed. These things happen. We can still be friends.
Friends? Friends?
Wrong thing to say? Is it ever the right thing?
Grab your helmets, because it's time to assemble Mask. Mask Mayhem is here with your hosts, TFG and Mike, Optimus Solo, and brand new host, Toon Master Tim. This podcast, covering all 75 episodes of Mask, will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. So get your spectrums ready, as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
So that wraps it for this episode of Legends of the Dark Knight. So what are your top five episodes of the night?
I'm going to have to put Final Cut. No, I'm going to put Last Resort at the bottom, then Final Cut, then Terry's Friend Dates a Robot, then Eyewitness is number two, and Armory is number one.
I'm actually going to go with the same set up only because they're all about even to me, and I do think that those are the bottom feeders. So
coming up next, we have some of the best episodes of season two. We've got Sneak Peek, The Egg Baby, Zeta, Plague, and April Moon. I think the only one out of that I don't care for is Plague. But Sneak Peek, The Egg Baby, and April Moon are three of my favorite episodes of the entire series. So that's coming up in episode 33 of the show. How can the people get in touch with us?
Well, they can get in touch with us by visiting the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. You can leave us feedback there. You can call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. You can become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can follow myself on Twitter at SCP21 and yourself,
TFG and Mike.
So until next time, saying the mortal words of Batman, I am vengeance, I am the night, I am Batman.
No, you're not.
I got worried when you didn't come back.
Bet you brought one of your old bat suits with you.
You'll never know.